Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Michelin Pilot Challenge
on IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Jeremy Shaw alongside me, John Hindorf in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre here on the outside of Turn 17 at Sebring International Raceway, getting ready for another fabulous entry in two classes, the TCRs, touring cars, and the GS, which is effectively GT4. In fact, it is GT4. And Jeremy, we were waxing lyrical about the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge, what seems not very long ago at all, at Daytona, at the end of January, for the one of the 2 4-hour races, hoping against hope that most of those teams would come back, and our hopes and possible expectations have been answered. We've got a cracking entry here.
Yeah, we have got 45 cars again. We have 49 at Daytona, and Daytona always draws a few extra teams to that event for several reasons. Number one, it's it was one of the longer races on the schedule, a 4-hour race. Number two, it's a good pre-season warm-up for a few drivers that are pursuing season-long different championships, but it's a good opportunity to get some racing miles under their belt and all teams running new or different cars as well. But to still 45 cars here is an absolutely tremendous lineup, and the overall winners last time out for that opening round was Stephen McAleer and Eric Filgueiras in the RS1 Porsche Cayman, that brand new 718 GT4 RSCS, the club sport. This weekend, the team and Steve McAleer are back. But instead of Eric Filgueiras, who's going to be concentrating on another championship this season, it's Alexandre Promain who's going to be joining Steve McAleer in that Porsche. The Porsche brand new car for this season, and everybody realized at Daytona that the balance of performance that had been appointed to that car was a bit out. It had to definitely have an advantage. They tried to trim it back for after the raw test and before the race. They did to some extent, but still the Porsche was clearly had the legs of the field at Daytona. So that's been trimmed back a little bit more for here at Sebring, John.
I had a pretty sensible chat, as always, actually, with some of the Porsche staff, senior Porsche staff, at Motorsport back in Germany after Daytona, swapping a couple of emails about road cars, actually, and what was going on with road car production and things like that. And they were absolutely delighted at how the Cayman GT4 RS performed. It was a pretty new car. Some of them only got to their customers relatively late. I think they probably took more out of that than even the battle in the IMSA WeatherTech that in the 24 hours at the front of the field in GTD Pro, because they knew it was, they'd been pushing very hard over Christmas to get all of those cars to customers. And a new car always has people a little bit on edge. So
the BOP was way out. They got 90 kilos added to that car for here. I mean, even Alvin Springer, who was the doyen of Porsche Motorsport North America, he called up IMSA before the event. He said, "I think you're probably giving us a bit too much here," and so they dialed it back. But they made some changes to slow the car down a little bit. To his immense credit, by the way,
That's
Alvin's
Alvin.
A racer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the cars have been trimmed back a bit here, so it should be a lot closer here. Yeah, Porsche was definitely the car to have at Daytona. Here, though, look at the two practice sessions we've had today. Still, Porsche is at the front. Two of them one of them in first position was Jeroen Blekemolen in number 540 car for Black Swan Racing. He's been fastest in the two practice sessions so far. Actually, Spencer Papelle was quickest in another Porsche in the first session, which was held in drying conditions.
Yeah, correct.
I think it was that way around, wasn't it?
Yes.
The rain came before it, didn't it? And then second session, Jeroen Blekemolen was fastest. Second fastest in that second session of practice was Sir Christian Shimjack in the Mercedes for Marilla Racing, car number 72. And third position was the championship leader, Stephen McAleer, car number 28 for RS1.
Those GT4 cars, the GS is still to come, of course. The first part of qualifying is given over to the 15 entries of touring cars. And once again, Brian Herder Autosport leading the way with their entries, the Hyundai Elantras. And we've also got the Veloster as well for CB Motorsports and Van der Steyr Racing. And it's not all been going Hyundai's way this year. It was a pretty competitive run for some of their competitors. And just a mention of the Audi teams as well, of course. Belgaard and Technoseal Racing, along with Unitronic JDC. They're one of each of the types there. DSG box and a sequential box. The Audi RS3 LMS is homologated with one or either of those. These are all the current version of that Audi RS3 LMS. There is a brand new version of that car, and that hasn't made it out to the States yet. And do we already have a problem? Drive through for the 44, holding cars in the queue, and that will be a little bit of a ticking off there. Bit naughty.
Jay Selinski making his return to the Michelin Pilot Challenge. Did a few races a few years ago. He's one of the doctors that was involved in Fast MD Racing.
Oh yeah.
But got an opportunity to come back again this weekend, join Tristan Herbert in that new German performance Audi. Isn't that a new car? The LMS TCR number 44. Is that not one of the new Audis?
I thought all of the new ones had the sequential box rather than DSG.
I think it's a GSG. I could be wrong
on that.
I'm not sure.
We had a good crawl over it, Jeremy, at Dubai. Rob Huff was driving it. And then I've now also seen the new Cupra version of the same car. Saw that at Snetterton a week past Monday. And had a very good look over that car. It uses the same platform, but has a different body. The attention to detail in those cars are unbelievable. Think about adjusting things. The rear anti-roll bar, now instead of having to be bent around the road car components, goes straight through and you can see it inside the back of the car. It's two fast clips to take it out and replace it with a thicker or thinner one. And to get to it, you can do it whilst the wheels are being changed and click it round if you need to. They've changed the bodywork on those cars as well, so we get less of the angry penguin flappage when there's been side to side. And it won that Cupra, on which the new Audi is also based, won its class in the British Endurance Championship, what used to be called Brit Car, at Silverstone last weekend. And my goodness, these are proper factory racing cars. Don't let the outside looks of these cars fool you, dear listener and viewer. These are proper race cars. On the button, with a manual, with a setup sheet from the factory. Yes, absolutely. It might look like a hot hatchback or a touring car, but these cars are very, very highly engineered pieces of kit. I'm not sure if they've now ever really started as a shell or whether there's a cage and everything else is just fired round it nowadays. Built as a race car that did not start on the road car line. Let me put it that way. That I know for sure. So 5 minutes gone, 9 minutes to go. Taylor Hagler for Brian Herter in the Elantra number one is in position one. Ryan Norman in second position at the moment.
The outlap,
just the outlap, yeah. Is it? Yeah, okay,
first
we haven't had a full lap.
It's Harry Gottsacker.
Okay,
in
another
the
Hyundai.
Sister car, yep. Brian Herter Autosport, car number 98. The first flying lap time, 2:15.0. Roy Block in the Daytona winning Alfa Romeo Giulietta Veloce, car number 5, second
very
fastest
for
at
them.
The moment.
That's a hard-working team, Jeremy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That KMW Motorsports. not taking the obvious route. That is literally the road less travelled, isn't it, with that Alfa? But yeah, it's a lovely looking little car, the Giulietta.
Yeah, new colours on that car this season. So black and gold, it looks really sharp, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Came out of the box strong, and yeah, even though it's a four-hour race, it's not been the most reliable of cars over the last couple of years, but came away with a magnificent victory at Daytona to start off the season. Didn't they win the final race of last year as well?
Road Atlanta, yes, I think you're right. Michelin race with Road Atlanta. Huge weekend for Michelin, by the way, the biggest in their history, with obviously all of the IMSA championships here at Sebring. Michelin Pilot Challenge, IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, and the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, all running on Michelins, and all bar one of the FIA WEC classes also running on Michelin. So huge. 177 cars here this weekend is what we added them up. And I think probably, how many, 16? So 150, 160 something running on Michelins.
Wow.
It's just the P2s in WEC that aren't. So that does mean there's going to be an awful lot of Michelin rubber down here by the end of the weekend. The track will be developing all the way through.
A couple of cars are coming into the pits at the end of their first lap, not yet completed a lap time. The number 19 Van der Stoer Racing Hyundai Veloster, Rory Van der Stoer at the wheel of that car. Also Victor Gonzalez from Puerto Rico in the car number 99. That's one of the Hondas, the VGRT Victor Gonzalez Racing team. The team rebranded. They had all sorts of misfortune last year.
Yeah.
Also had bad luck in the first race of this season as well. I spoke to Victor this morning. He was telling me what the problem was. I forget it was now. In the notes here somewhere. It was, but yeah, they are back here again this weekend. Power steering failure. It was at Daytona.
Ah, yes, it was. Yes, well remembered.
In that Honda, and Carl Whitmer, the youngest of the four Whitmer brothers, is back at the wheel this weekend. He will be the full season driver for that car, but missed Daytona because his wife expected their first child. Daughter Riley entered the world right around about that weekend, but Carl is back in that car this weekend and hoping for a bit more luck, but into the pits after just one lap of the qualifying session. Mason Philippi to the top of the charts, the car number 77. That's another of the Brian Herder Autosports Hyundai Elantra NTCRs. It was his co-driver Tyler Maxson that started on the pole position at Daytona. They had a problem there during the race, but fell back to ninth position. But it was Tyler Maxson on the pole position, and Mason Philippi it is at the moment who leads the way, the 23-year-old from Alamo, California. 214.446 fastest time at the moment. The lap record for TCR was set by Britt Casey Jr. at a 213.7. That was back in 2019 on a different brand of tyres back then. Last season's pole position here was Brian Henderson, a 214.8. That was in one of the Atlanta Speedworks Honda Civic TCRs.
Hyundai, Alfa, Audi, Hyundai, Honda, Audi for your top seven. Gavin Ernstone for the number 61 car. They had no luck at all at Daytona either.
I think they've changed the colours again here for this weekend. It's a new car, okay, fine.
It had to be a brand new car after after the accident.
Yeah, that was a hefty side on impact. And matte black now the car is.
They've done that road colour before, haven't they? They sort of had a dark grey for a while. Then they put some colour into it. Maybe they're trying to change their look with a slightly different livery. Down to 4.5 minutes to go in the pits. The Hyundai Veloster of Rory Van der Stoer. It's the number 19 Veloster. Quite a funky little car that in TCR Racing. You are allowed four or five door cars, but not three door cars. Now, if you look at the driver's side, you might think that Van der Stoer are pulling a fast one there because it's got one big door on the side, very much like a three door coupe. But if you look at the other side, It's got two doors on the passenger side, and the hatchback, that makes it four. That means it's legal. And that's how it came out of Hyundai. Hyundai had that design built in to that car, and very successful it has been as well. The Veloster N now given way for the major part of the effort by Brian Herta Autosport and therefore Hyundai here in the US to the Elantra, which is a four-door, almost a four-door fastback, bit of a coupe style to that.
Yeah, much more conventional.
Yes, yes indeed. Not quite the same car as the i40 fastback, i40N fastback that I've driven in Europe, but similar sort of styling to that. Hyundai's beginning to move up now, and it's only the Alpha that's splitting them. Top seven cars, all Hyundais apart from the Alpha in fourth, with Roy Block in that position at the moment. Half a second away from
the
top.
All the Brian Herta cars are all, as you say, six of the top seven there. Mason Philippi, Harry Gottsacker in second place. Robbie Wickens in third position, in car number 33. Former IndyCar driver, then the Roy Block Alpha, who's in the pits and completed his four laps. That'll probably be it for him. Taylor Hagler, defending series champion, in the fifth position, ahead of AJ Muss and Michael Johnson. And what's remarkable about top seven drivers, two of them are paralysed. Absolutely amazing. Robbie Wickens in third position, former IndyCar driver, of course, had that horrific crash a few years ago. And Michael Johnson, who had a motorcycle crash as a teenager. He's in seventh position as well, in car number 54. So just amazing, amazing inspirational stories, both of those two.
Absolutely. It looks like Carlo Ranieri for CP Motorsports Veloster has come to a halt out on the circuit. And he hasn't come back around, I'm afraid, in the number 18. Can't spot where he is from out of vantage point, but I'll keep an eye open, and if you know, at IMSA Radio, please tweet it in if you're listening to us around the circuit.
Carlo Ranieri making his debut, his pro debut this weekend in that car. It's the Rockwell Autosports car number 15. Oh, excuse me, that's Preston 18. Brown is driving that car. He's driving number 18 car for CB Racing alongside Caleb Bacon.
I take it Caleb is the CB of CB Motorsports.
No, it's his dad, Chad.
Ah, right, okay.
Whose father, i.e. Caleb's grandfather, Al Bacon, former four-time winner of the Rolex 24 at Daytona. Yeah. He's here this weekend.
Another third-generation racer then.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Man from Mooresville, North Carolina, right up in NASCAR country there.
Yeah, Carlo Ranieri then, his team, Caleb, as a teammate, 24 years of age. Caleb's just 17, by the way, still a high school student. But he won last year's TCA championship. But Carlo Ranieri's, he's done some radical cup series racing, sports cars.
Oh, okay.
And done a bit of testing in other cars as well. But again, his first real pro race this weekend. Unfortunately, it seems that.
I haven't seen him come back around, Jeremy. He's not made it back to the pits, and unfortunately I haven't been able to spot him on any of our cameras that we've got set up.
Wow.
So
Robbie Wickens up into second position, he car number 33, just 0.0771, so less than a tenth of a second then away from Mason Philippi, who still leads away with that 2:14.446. Robert Wickens won 2:14.517. Harry Gottsacker then down to third place. Checkered flag comes out on this session, but several cars are still out there, including the Mason Philippi car, but I don't think he's not going any quicker on this lap.
Yeah,
Is Robbie going any quicker? No, he's not.
As you say, check it out. And Audi's, or the Hyundai of Michael Johnson has gone through. Audi of Gavin Ernston will be no better than ninth position. Can't see any. Oh, hang on, I've just said that. AJ Muss had a decent first sector.
Snowboarder, but he's slow in the sector two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Must have made a mistake in sector
Pits
two somewhere, I think.
For Mason Philippi from provisional pole position. So, and Rob Wickens do anything in the last sector?
No, he slowed down.
Right. checkered flag being waved with some gusto over the very famous start-finish line.
So this will be potentially the first pole position for Mason Filippi, 23-year-old from Alamo, California. A 32nd start. Well, three wins already, though, in the Michelin Pilot Challenge competition. This will be his first pole position. And another feather in that cap for that, one of the several youngster teams, car number 77, with Tyler Maxson, the co-driver for Mason Filippi, having qualified on the pole position at Daytona round one of this year's Michelin Pilot Challenge.
So Jeremy Shaw, and we are all but over. No, we are. Everybody's gone either across the line or into the pit lane. Chris Miller just coming around. He crosses the line with a 2:16.161. That was his best lap, but it doesn't move him any further up than eighth position in the Audi number 17. And just having a look, also improving on the last lap out was Jay Selinski, NGP Motorsports, in the Audi number 44, 2:18.421. That's going to give him 11th position. And Preston Brown's fastest lap at the end as well. In fact, he's still running. He's got one more lap to go. Did Jim prove again? No, he didn't, by a couple of tenths. See if Preston can get another lap out of his tyres. No, he peeled off. No, he did come through the line, excuse me. But yes, he did. 2:19.817. So he broke the 2:20 on his last time around in the RS3 for Bellegarde and Techniseal Racing. That was the number 15 car. Rory van der Steen, Victor Gonzalez already in the pits before the checkered flag came out. So it is then a first pole position, Jeremy, for Mason Filippi.
Yeah, good effort there. 2:14.446. That is faster by almost 0.4 of a second than the fastest qualifying time last year, set by Brian Henderson in a Honda. The race lap record, just for the heck of it, was set last year by Denis Dupont in a Honda Veloster at a 2:14.799. That was an average speed, by the way, of 99.881 miles an hour. So,
we're looking 14, to break into three figures this weekend.
14.4, I think, should be over 100, I think.
Well, the track hasn't changed, so that's good news. We await the arrival on the circuit of the GS cars, and unless something very odd goes on, that should be the overall pole position for the Alan J. Networks 120 as round number two of the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge, Alan J. Automotive Network 120. For those of you further away from the track, anybody who's at the track will need no explanation as to who and what Alan J. Automotive is, because if you drive up 27 you can't miss it, both sides of the road for about 13 miles it seems. Pretty much every manufacturer. It's a little bit windy here,
so
at the
coming
moment.
Down from Orlando too, there's Alan J. Automotive network signs all the way down.
Yeah, and being a big supporter, Alan J. Automotive, of the racing here at Sebring down through the years. And this 2 hour contest on Thursday. I'll keep saying that, Thursday. By the way, for those of you outside the USA, America have already sprung forward, so there's only now a 4 hour difference to the UK and a 5 hour difference to Europe. Although I did note that the Senate have voted to do away with daylight savings times, although that's got to go through Congress.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Great.
Finally stop changing the clocks.
Brilliant.
So it will be effectively daylight savings all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great now to have, you know, back to light in the evenings. It's 7:30 gets darker, but it was 7:30 before it got light here this morning. It's quite different here to California.
Yeah.
Where I'm based, it's certainly light there even with the clock change. I think at by 7, I think, I forget now. Didn't really pay attention the last few.
Too excited for coming here, Jeremy.
Exactly
weren't
right.
You? Let's be honest. So waiting for the second 15-minute session for the cars at the front of the field. These are running to a GT4 formula, which is a global formula, of course. In GT and endurance racing, we try to make things easy. So GT4, then GT3. There is such a thing in Stefan Rattel's Racing World, SRO, as GT2. And then I suppose you would still say that GTE, which we will see this weekend in the FIA WEC, although small grid for the Procars, huge grid for the Pro-Ams, that is effectively GT1, what would have been old GT1. So GT4 is coming out now. 30 of them entered. And, well, basically, stick them on a dartboard, blindfold yourself and see who you can hit. I'm not even going to try and pick even a manufacturer here, Jeremy, for pole position. The Porsches, we think, have still got a little bit of an advantage. But this is a very different track from Daytona. Good improvements over the last few races of last year and the first race of this year from the Toyota Supras. Let's see what they're like over a lap. And we know the Aston Martins are always strong as well.
Yeah, I mean, just looking down the top 10 from the two practice sessions, we've had some changeable weather today, so that's a factor in there certainly. But we've got Porsches in there, Mercedes, Aston Martin, BMW, Chevrolet, Audi, inside the top 10.
They're just outside, weren't they, for court. Come on to Sports with a new colour scheme this weekend. They're complementary and opposite. They are mirror images of each other. The black and the white on the front of the car, it's a sort of a slash quarter colour scheme. And on one car, the black is on the left-hand side of the car. The other, it's on the right, which might make parts interchangeability, panel interchangeability a bit difficult, but it looks fabulous. I'm all for that. Well done, the guys at court. We've got...
Great to see Nate Stacey back as well, champion a few years ago, a couple of years ago, but from Oklahoma.
And Luke Mars jumping into that car, another driver who we are used to seeing in the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5, drives there for Copeland Motorsport, and is normally up in the top 10, could be anywhere in the top 10 with Mazda Racing. We don't get those cars back for a little while now, a couple of months now, next time that those cars are out. They've had a couple of events or four rounds of their championship season already, and as we have come to expect, in the race here last year was an outstanding three-car blanket finish. They'll not be back with us, as I say, for a couple of months. Daytona was brilliant, and then the streets of St. Pete's was the last time out for the Mazda. But welcome to Luke Mars. Frank Depew and Robin Liddell back together again for Rebel Rock Racing with their Urban Grid Chevrolet Camaro. Rookie season, just had a limited movie theatre release here. The documentary movie about their, strangely enough, first season in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. And I hear that there are plans afoot, and we'll let you know when we hear from the production team to get that to a wider audience than it have had access to it up until now, including in Europe. So stay tuned for that across the Radio Show Limited network. Really nice piece of filmmaking. Christian Simchak with Kenny Murillo in the Murillo Racing at number 72. That's not going to confuse me. It's 56 and 65 for those cars normally.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah, they're running three cars here
exactly.
this season. Great to see Christian Simchak and, as you say, Kenny Murillo, son of team principal Ken Murillo, who himself was a racer a few years ago. And they were... You know, they had a good strong run this morning. It was second quickest in one of the sessions. Yeah, second quickest in the FP2, second of the practice sessions earlier today. They had a 10th place finish to begin their season at Daytona. It's also new this season, John, is a new Bronze Cup for more experienced drivers, let's say.
More experience in life.
Yeah, exactly.
Not racing.
It was Gary Ferreira and Chris Wilson who won that category at Daytona, so had the early championship lead, and they were among the top 10 overall in practice a little earlier today.
Yeah, just picking out a few of the other drivers who you might not have heard about before. Scott Andrews from Australia. Riley Motorsports in with Anton Diaz Pereira in the number 21 car. Scott also been picked up for a ride in one of the other series this weekend.
Yeah, for Vassar Sullivan and Alexis and Challenger this morning. Yeah, what a great opportunity for him.
Great
that
opportunity.
Is. I mean, Scott Andrews, I had a chat with him earlier on, just telling me, you know, he's my model for somebody who wants to become a racing driver that doesn't have the funding, the major funder behind him. He's just worked super hard.
Tirelessly.
And he got this opportunity to drive last year with Anton Diaz Pereira. Started off showing initially in a Mercedes, switched to Toyota, and he saw that Toyota link, particularly with Riley Motorsports running that car for Anton last year. So that an opportunity to get some ins there at Toyota and Lexus, and he's driven all sorts of different cars over the last couple of years, shone in all of them.
True.
And that is one of the main reasons why he got the opportunity, got the call up when Carl Kirkwood, who was initially planning to continue with the Vassar Sullivan Lexus team here in the pro car, after the season was all set in stone, IndyCar then decided to have their first round of the season this weekend at Texas. So Carl Kirkwood and several other drivers unable to be here at Sebring. So that created another an opening. Aaron Tiedit's actually going to step up into the pro car for this weekend, but Scott Andrews will fill that place in number 12 car in the regular GTD category.
When opportunity knocks,
there you go.
The door swings open a little bit. Get your foot in there and give it a go. Give it a good go. Kenny Murillo, we were talking about that number 72 Murillo Racing AMG GT GT4. 2:11.754 fastest time at the moment by a tenth and a half over Alexandra Primat. Alexandra, been missing from IMSA Racing for a while. The RS1 number 28 in second. I remember him in an AMG, a very red AMG. Back a few years ago.
And supercars in Australia. He's done everything, hasn't he, Prema? He's been around this sport a long, long time. Got a lot of success in all sorts of different cars. And loving this opportunity. Got a call a few weeks ago from Justin Bellinzoni to join this RS1 team for this weekend alongside Steve McAlee. Drove the car for the very first time this morning, was very impressed by it, and here he is up at the sharp end of the field.
Smooth driver, he'll love it. Yes, just done that, Jeremy. 2:11.696, so less than a tenth of a second, around about half a tenth of a second. He's not going to be there for long because the aforementioned Alexandra Premat is up to the top in that RS1 car.
Yeah, and right now it's Porsche, Aston Martin, Mercedes, Toyota, Ford, and Mercedes are top six.
Yeah, brilliant.
I better get the lead quickly before it changes. Six different manufacturers.
First BMW down in 11th position. Sean Quinlan for Stephen Cameron Racing. And
Premat's going to take some beating here, I think.
Premat's going to love that. 718 GT4
yeah,
RS.
Absolutely did. He was very impressed.
Beautifully balanced car. The road car on which it is based is lovely. As I say, supposed to be driving that car at Donington tomorrow, but unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which way you look at it, I'm here instead. But looking forward to getting behind the wheel of that and giving that car a shakedown. Aston Martin Vantage in second is the Volt Racing Alan Brynjolfsson driven car. Alan has really moved his driving along in the last season or season and a half, Jeremy. And, we're more used now to see him at the sharp end of the field in qualifying and then being able to hold his position in the first stint of these two-hour races. And that's really setting the team up nicely.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who started racing relatively late in life. Originally from Iceland, but he makes his home and has done for quite a few years now in the Tampa Bay area. So this is pretty much a home track for Alan Brynjolfsson. And that Aston Martin Vantage has been run out of the right motorsports stable for this season. And Alan, as you say, he's been coached very impressive by Trent Hindman over the last few years. They've got a great relationship going between those two. And as you say, Alan is using every bit of that experience that Trent Hindman, he's a youngster still, just improving his craft. But I don't know, he's only started racing in 2016.
2:11.0, Jeremy. How does that? While you're looking that, well, actually make that a 2:11.0 1-0 now because Prema's just got a little bit quicker. Michael McCann went up this second for a moment, but now Kenny Murillo has usurped him. So it's Porsche, Mercedes AMG, Porsche, Aston, Porsche, Ford in the top six, and they're separated by all of 0.9 of a second, so under a second between the top six.
It was the old style Porsche 718 Cayman that was on the pole position here last year. Max Root it was who set the time.
Maxwell Root, yes.
The 2:11.3. The lap record for GS was set by Owen Trinkler in a Mercedes in 2019. At a 2:10.521, so about a half a second away from that time. But that 11's flat. That's a good running year. It's pretty warm out there.
Yes,
today
31 Celsius on the track, 30 in the air. Just one of those tracks. Talked to all the drivers last weekend here at the WEC Prologue running on Saturday and Sunday. This is the track that probably is most affected by getting a cloud or two across it because of the expanses of concrete, which are very light in colour and don't hold the heat. The moment the sun goes in, the track changes. And it is one of those circuits where if you're out at the right time, you can sneak a lap in if you've got your tyres in the right spot. Great circuit, former World War II training, B-52 bomber training base, named.
Yeah, and Gary Ferreira, who's sharing the number 11 car, it's the Capstone Motorsports Mercedes. His father was based here.
No.
When it was the Hendricks Army Field, it was back then. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that one.
The called Hendricks after a local airman from Florida Region who was tragically killed just a couple of days after going to the UK to train RAF pilots. And I think he'd only been there 2 or maybe 3 days, and he was killed in a training accident at Polbrook, which is hop, skip and a jump away from Hindhoff Towers. And the old airfield isn't really there, but there are a couple of bomber commands. Memorials around that area, which quite often when I'm out on the motorcycle I'll just pull over and have a contemplative moment. Plenty of you can spot some of the runways sometimes and some of the old buildings. None of them being used as airfields, and in fact one of them is used as a kart circuit, has been for quite some time at Kim Bolton.
Alexandra Plema still is the fastest, but by now, 0.032 of a second. Luca Mars up into second place in that core Ford Mustang GT4 car, number 60. Wow, what a lap from the youngster Luca Mars. It's a big change from a Mazda MX-5 to a Ford Mustang GT4, but Luca has clearly taken to that very, very quickly.
Well, you see that. But one thing I'm pretty certain will be the same is that they used that DSV Multimatic suspension setup on the MX-5s now. It is the least expensive car that you can go racing in that has that. And I'm pretty sure that's the same setup as on the Ford Mustang. But as you say, Jeremy, rear-wheel drive, engine in the front, but that's probably where the similarity ends. Well, there's a steering wheel, three pedals and a gear shifter. So, yeah, I mean, yes, and drivers will tell you, well, you know, you just drive it, don't you? Well, he's just driving it very well indeed to be less than a third of a tenth away from Alexander Premat. Premat sitting on that 2:11.010, 2:11.042, and then backed up by Luca with a 2:11.986. So it's not just one lap. That is pretty impressively consistent as well. We're coming down under the last minute now, as Premat has gone to the pit. So is Michael McCann in fourth position for the McCann Racing Porsche, number 8. Alan Brynjolfsson still out there running in fifth position. Murillo got another lap in as well. A lot of green on the timing screen for the last laps for people. Manny Franco, NTE Sport. Aston Martin, nice. Best last lap time around for Manny, 9th place. Trevor Andrusko, FCP Euro, Mercedes, 2.12.1 and a 2.12.153 for Alfredo Nagri. He's just gone through in a slower time, 2.20, so he's backed right off. Matt Travis puts his fastest lap in for Nola Sport in another one of the GT4 RSs. Number 47. I believe, are they all the new cars again, or do we have one of the old cars? I heard a rumour we were going to possibly get one of the old cars back for this round.
If so, it might be the...
I'm just scanning through now.
It might be the Matt Travis car in that case.
Yeah.
Potentially. But I don't think so.
No, they're all listed as GT4 RS Club Sports.
Yeah.
So that intel perhaps wrong. Check the flags out. Dylan McEvan for Turner Motorsport sees it first. Doesn't improve, so it'll be no better than 19th in GS. The NT Sport Aston Martin Vantage, 2.12.401. Last time around for Manny Franco will be his best. Same song, different position for Trevor Andrisco. He's just taken the checkered flag. 2.11.8. That'll be good enough for 8th. Riley Motorsports number 14. Alfredo Nagri.
Yeah, and that's the Toyota Gazoo Racing South America entry. Alfredo Nagri, he's the regular driver in that car. I'll be joined this weekend by Andy Jackos from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Just 22 years of age, very nice young guy actually, and he's a factory driver for Toyota Gazoo Racing in his native Argentina.
Ah. Personal best there, going through last time around for Farnan Siddiqui, 2.16, so a little bit further down. We will have a split start, so all the GSs will be in front of all of the TCRs. So if you're following along via the Alcamel live timing on IMSA.com and you see some of the GS cars in the TCR times, that will all change. All of the 30 GS cars will start at the front of the field. Prema in the pits. Top four now have completed. Alan Brynjolfsson has lifted off in the middle sector, so he will not improve.
And the top three cars then, number 28, the Porsche of Alex Prema, the second place Ford Mustang, car number 60 of Luca Mars, and the third place car number 72, that's a Mercedes of Kenny Murillo. Each of those three cars set a fastest sector time. In sector one, which is just basically turn one, it was Luca Mars in the Ford that was fastest. In sector two, which is all the way around to after turn 12, is Alex Prema in the Porsche. And the third sector, which is through the Jean de Brienne's down the Almond Strait around Sunset Banda back to start finish line, Kenny Murillo in the Mercedes set the fastest time. So again, the balance of performance here looking quite good with the Porsche, a Ford and a Mercedes in the top three. Also in the top 10, an Aston Martin, a Toyota, just outside the, well, okay, no, they're what's that, six different manufacturers: Porsche, Ford, Mercedes, Aston Martin, Toyota. So five different manufacturers in the top 10. Actually, top seven.
Thank you, Jeremy. Earlier on, we saw TCR pole position being taken by Mason Felipe for Brian Hurt at Autosport in the number 77 Hyundai Elantra N. And Robert Wickens will be alongside on the front row of the TCR grid. So that's two BHA Hyundai Elantra, 77 and 33. The front row overall, RS1 Porsche and Core Motorsports Ford Mustang GT4 with the debutant Luca Mars in his first qualifying session in the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge, snagging a front row start for the Ford team. For Jeremy Shaw, I'm John Hindoff. Thanks for being with us. We'll have the race in sound and vision for you on Thursday, the Alan Cheer Automotive Network 120.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.